Good morning. 7 minutes past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. How can your church get involved in helping refugee families displaced by the fighting in Iraq and Syria? Joining us with some practical ideas on that is Steve Haas. He's a vice president at World Vision International. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Thanks, Bill. It's great to be with you. I'm doing great.
Now, I know World Vision has been very concerned about the latest developments in the refugee crisis, both in Iraq and Syria. First of all, can you paint a picture of what is going on right now in Mosul, Iraq?
Well, Mosul is a city that is besieged by people attempting to liberate it for about 2 years, a little over 2 years. It's been held by ISIL, which is a group that we've heard a lot about, been a lot in the news, as this has had basically a reign of terror for over 2 years, with a lot of people who just didn't get out. Many of them thought this might be a liberation of all the violence that they've had, and instead this just multiplied the sense of uncertainty and longing to get out that they've had. Now, in fact, forces from the Iraq Army and other military forces aided by the U.S. Have attempted to now move back into that city, but it's very, very slow going. And so the numbers of refugees we've been expecting somewhere between the tune of about 300,000 to a million have been coming out in kind of small allotments of folks who have been liberated from various aspects of that city. But it's very hard going. In fact, this is probably going to be the hardest, most difficult, most complex refugee relief situation we've ever been engaged in, certainly this year, but possibly even ever.
Now, I think a lot of people don't realize Mosul is what, the second largest city in Iraq? It's a large city.
Well, the population could be anywhere up to about now about 1.5 million people. So when you talk about getting out of the city, one, it's just getting across these places that are so uncertain anyway. I mean, we're talking about places that have been mined. We're talking about factions that are fighting over you as you're trying to get out. And then, of course, the uncertainty of once you're out, is there going to be somebody there to relieve me, to be there for me? And we've positioned about 300,000 to 400,000 for about 300,000 to 400,000 people. But again, that's knowing when they're going to get out, where they're going to get out, making sure that we have the resources for them when they get out.
So tell us about World Vision's involvement there in Iraq currently.
Well, we're heavily involved in Iraq and also in Syria, both countries also, you know, obviously undergoing really, really difficult times. Our sense has been that this part of the world deeply, deeply needs the love of Jesus and needs to see the love of Jesus in real action. And so around the collar countries, around these two countries, when you talk about Lebanon, talking about Jordan, talking about then even into northern Iraq, which is almost now its separate enclave, what they call the KRI or the Kurdish region of Iraq, World Vision's been very, very active in attempting to make life palatable to refugees that have gotten out. And then also now we've reached deeply into these countries, Iraq and Syria, because, of course, many people are just displaced. The numbers, you know, we're talking when you add those two together, somewhere to the tune of about 13 to 15 million people. And so these folks need all the basic resources just to survive. And so we've attempted to show the love of Jesus in very practical ways.
So give us a feel for what might be happening there. Are there large refugee camps throughout that part of Iraq, or are the people allowed to leave and to head into one of those neighboring countries where there are refugee camps? What's the situation as far as just getting out?
Well, Bill, the situation has gotten more and more difficult, obviously, as time has gone on. If you're listening to national public radio, if some people are just trying to get the news from The Economist, if you're listening to the latest reports, you're going to hear about Aleppo and people having difficulty just getting out of the city, just even to get to another part of the country. And the borders themselves, many of these collar countries are starting to lock down, if they haven't locked down already, because the numbers of people that have already come across are overwhelming. Lebanon itself is a country of 4 million people. They've taken in, unofficially, about 1.5 to 2 million people. So you're 4 million people, but you've taken in almost half of your population in the last 4 to 5 years. So just getting out of these countries now is quite difficult because of the ways in which these borders and checkpoints along the way are being armed and by who they're being armed by. So again, it's the uncertainty of travel is very, very big, but life is so tenuous in many of the areas in which these people are living that they'll try just about anything, including selling everything that they have, coming across the border regions with just the clothes on their back. And depending on the country, really depends then, really shows up in the way in which you're treated. So in some of these places, these are massive refugee camps, tents upon tents upon tents. Many of these pictures are familiar with your listeners, I'm sure. But some of them, if you're in Lebanon, they don't want more refugee camps. And so people are living in farm fields, under tents, in garages, in mosques and churches, any place in which they can find a safe place for their families. And again, for many of these people, these are families. 80% are women and children, people who are just trying to find a way to make it. That's all they're doing.
Well, we are so thankful that World Vision is there on the scene, and we're going to talk in just a bit about ways that your church can get involved in aiding some of these refugees. Stick with us here on the Faith Radio Network. Welcome back. 15 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer. My guest is Steve Haas. He's a vice president with World Vision International. We're talking about the just the terrible refugee crisis that continues to unfold in the Middle East. And Steve, we were talking about Iraq earlier and the city of Mosul, but a similar humanitarian crisis occurring in Aleppo, Syria. And this gets really complicated because it involves the U.S. and Russia and the Syrian army and just a lot of different players. Tell us what's going on right now in Aleppo, Syria.
Well, there has been over the weekend a release, at least that's what we're hearing now, of refugees who are now trying to make their way to a safe place, the city of Idlib, and many are on their way. But that could be today. We could hear about an interruption of that. Again, this is a seesaw, a series of stories of it closing down, that opening up. And we're talking about tens of thousands of people that are just trying to find a way to get out from under bombings, out of mayhem, out of the intense violence, which has been their lives over the last 2 or 3 years. And so, in fact, I think you're just going to continue to hear these swapping back. It's why we're trying to say, you know, listeners of radio, people reading the news, people hearing about the story, concentrate on the folks who are finding a safe place. Let's do what we can do, not what we can't do. Much of this is political situation in which political leaders are going to have to make up their mind. And they're going to have to exert leadership in a very profound way that measures all the way down to the one-inch level. But for those of us who are maybe apart from this, instead of looking away, recognize that, wait a second, I follow a Middle Eastern refugee. And in this season of the year, we ought to be remembering that. Jesus came in the form of a baby and then became immediately a refugee. And in the Middle East, of all places. And in some way, we're called into this place, not only because Scripture has called us to do these kinds of things, these ways of compassionate giving and offering hope to those in need, but because these people desperately need it right now. The world needs to pay attention. And so we have an opportunity to do that by coming alongside them in very practical ways and bringing them the very things that they need to survive. And it's getting really, really cold there right now, below freezing, in fact.
It is, and I think that's something all of us need to remember. We think of the Middle East as desert, but very, very cold. World Vision is working to make U.S. Christians aware of the severity of this crisis and educate churches on how they can get involved. Can you tell us about Refugee Sunday and how it works?
Well, this is an awesome way in which an entire church can rally together. We've had many churches do this in which a senior pastor and the staff basically make the call that on that Sunday, along with worship and teaching and preaching, they're also going to make part of this Sunday a time to focus on the fact that refugees do matter, that these people are literally on the heart of God. And one of the ways in which we do that is providing them with all the resources that they would need to put on some sort of information and engagement event for their churches. So we provide video stories, sermon talking points. There's even small group resources that churches can use so that everybody together says, you know, refugees matter to us. And because they matter to God, they matter to us. We used to have a phrase when I was working at Willow Creek years ago that said, the numbers have faces and the faces have names. Mm. And the names are really important to the Father. And if they're important to the Father, then they're important to you and I as well. And so because of that, we just say, okay, let's make sure you have everything that you need so that you can become an information purveyor, but also you can be actively engaged on this important crisis.
Mm. So what can individual Christians and churches do? Obviously, there's a financial need, and World Vision is you can use your support because it costs a lot of money to do exactly what they're doing and coming alongside these refugees. Are there some other things? Of course, prayer is important. Any other tangible things that individuals can do or a church body can do?
Well, I think you mentioned some of those. A lot of this is simply going beyond the, I think I'm going to do that, to actually doing it. We did a survey, actually, this in the past couple of weeks to just understand, have the numbers changed between 2015 and 16 with relation to people saying, I'm going to go do this, and then do they actually do it? And the numbers, as you might understand, are somewhat depressing, actually. There's a tremendous heart to be engaged. There's a tremendous will to do something. But in actual fact, when push comes to shove, folks actually don't actually do those things that they commit to doing. I think that's why we have year-end resolutions that somehow reverse the trend. Well, this is one trend which is literally life-saving. If someone takes that information that they're hearing in church at a refugee Sunday and then parlays that to their neighborhood, takes that to their neighborhood, takes that to their office, takes that to their family, says over dinner, you know, this is one thing. I just need to get this out. You need to hear this. Now hear this. This is what I heard. This is what I saw. This is how we're going to engage. And if your listeners just simply said, you know, I realize I could probably wait on somebody, maybe my pastor's listening, and hopefully he'll or she will do something, but instead said, you know, I'm going to take this on myself. I heard the survey. I'm not going to be the stat. The digression of not doing so. I'm going to step up. And so they actually do that. If just your listeners did that, there would be a wake up call across the great Northeast, Midwest, wherever this radio station has a listenership. People would wake up and do something. And this is the trend we need to see reversed.
Mm. You drew the parallel earlier to the Christmas story and the fact that Jesus was indeed a Middle East refugee, and his family, Mary and Joseph, had to flee to Egypt to escape from Herod's wrath. Describe, if you could, Steve, what is life like for a child in these war-torn areas of the Middle East?
It's hell. I mean, Bill, it's hell.
Mm.
In a situation in where these people have found a safe place, there are planes flying overhead. I can guarantee you, based on the interviews I've had with hundreds of these kids, from El Raqqa, from Aleppo. When a plane flies over, the parent knows that that child's probably going to be a bedwetter.
Mm.
It's terrifying. They've seen things that you and I would never have our worst enemy see. They've seen death in the streets. They've seen pools of blood. They've seen loved ones taken away and never returned. They've seen the frightened, you know, psychological trauma of their parents who have no idea what they're going to do for the safety of their children. And any parent knows what happens when the kid sees you afraid and terrified and traumatized. So we're dealing with psychosocial needs that are extreme. It's one of the reasons why we put in child-friendly spaces. Sounds really light and cheery because these places are, but these are places where kids begin to unpack what they've seen, what they've experienced. And if they don't, then they, as we all know, can so easily return to this kind of activity as adults. And so it's got to be dealt with. It's got to be unpacked. These kids have been traumatized. And I think one of the reasons why I'm so vibrant on this issue is I got kids.
Mm-hmm.
My kids haven't seen this. No child should see this. But I have a chance. I have an opportunity to reverse the trend. And so that's why we're calling on folks across this country, this great country, in these times of uncertainty. Be certain about this. Provide a safe place for these kids, because we can do that.
Steve, we appreciate your heart so much. For those pastors or church leaders who are listening right now that would like to sponsor a Refugee Sunday at their church, what should they do?
Well, the best thing to do is just if they got on their computer, they can pull down some of this information. I know that you have this great relationship with Q. Qideas.org/worldvision. Qideas.org/worldvision. If you do that, you're going to find Refugee Sunday. Just Google World Vision Refugee Sunday, and you're going to get all this information. We send it out freely in hopes that churches will wake up. And on this Sunday, you know, these Sundays in which we're celebrating the birth of this Middle Eastern refugee child, that we would follow in his way, just as, that pure religion is this, you know, taking care of orphans and widows in their distress. And then as they do that, then we see a great change in this place that we've been praying about for so many years.
Mm. Steve Haas, Vice President with World Vision, thank you so much for your time, Steve, and for your compassionate heart towards these many, many refugees who need our prayers and need our tangible support.
Thank you, Bill.